from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs, and this is a second part of a conversation that we got too far into yesterday. So check out The Athletic for Seth's stuff, Chiefs Digest for Matt and Chris, and RGR Football for me, but that's all I got for you. We're going to jump right back into the conversation, and I got an idea I wanted to run past the guys. Now, there are other draft picks, and we're going to talk about this in just a second, but since we took the break and I didn't get my point in, I want you guys to do me a favor. Little mental exercise. Close your eyes. You have this gigantic
line. What are you doing in my home?
Line,
no, I'm just kidding.
Right?
Sorry.
You bring in a sixth offensive lineman. And you line up Saunders and Chris Jones next to each other in the backfield for the Wildcat.
Oh, God.
Right? Right? Chris Jones says he can throw. I know he can run. Let's run an option with those two.
So we're going to take the ball out of the hands of the reigning MVP.
I think we should. We're going to go.
When he hits six touchdowns, just let him have a series off.
Okay. I just want you all to realize you're hearing this from Ryan, not from Chris.
This gotta is run the
from
ball,
Ryan. It's just really, really different.
Sure. Why not? I think that's kind of like, I remember when I was watching Drew Brees' film for the contextualizing Mahomes piece, you know, where I compared him to other quarterbacks, work that you can't find anywhere else but theathletic.com. Anyway.
There's a trial.
Yeah. There are free trials, turns out there's a lot of specials. It's just crazy stuff, stuff you can't find anywhere. Anyway, so I just remember like watching throughout, and I messaged a Saints analyst for The Athletic, and I actually like the idea, Ryan, especially like at the goal line. But I asked him, do Saints fans get kind of frustrated with this whole, I don't remember, is it Tayshaun Hill or who do they have? And I'm like, are they frustrated at all? Because honestly, it feels like every time they bring him in, it feels like they're doing the other team a favor. And he just like unloaded, was like, oh my God, what is he doing? It just like freaked out. It was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So we've, it's kind of like when I was reviewing Wilson for that same article, and I mentioned a couple things about Wilson, and like all of Seahawks Twitter found me and they were like, thank you. Cause I was like, why are they running the ball so much? And no offense, Ryan, but I mean, they weren't doing it well either. And so it's like, what? Maybe you should let Russ Wilson throw the ball more than 25 times a game. I don't know.
If you're going to go there, why don't you just have Mecole Hardman throw the ball? I mean, you know, he wasn't QB in high school.
You know what? I think they should let more of these guys throw the ball. What's really funny is when you see like a guy like Travis Kelce throw the ball, and he threw that horrible pick a few years back. But here's the interesting thing. We see guys like them throw the ball, and during a game, we're like, ugh. Those guys, most of them played quarterback in high school at a 10 times higher level than any of the quarterbacks we've seen in high school. And that's just how good these guys are. It's sick. But I do like that idea, Ryan, even if it takes the ball out of the MVP's hands, because I am always in favor of chaos theory. I love it. And speaking of chaos.
To be fair. There was no worse throw than Tyreek Hill's throw.
Right.
So just go throw that out there.
No, that was the worst thing I've ever seen. That was the worst.
We do need to rein this in a little bit because we have still three more draft picks to talk about and all the UDFAs.
Well, I was trying to transition. I was saying, I was going to throw it to you guys because I don't know anything about Rashad Fenton. Someone tell me about Rashad.
Good thing it's a two-parter now. Well, he's the guy who put the end to the void of day three. And we all were crying about, hey, they need a corner, right? Like they can't go into the season with just these three. Yeah. The thing about Rashad Fenton, solid athlete, nothing to like stand out about. But was fairly productive. I think I came in 17th in terms of being able to produce interceptions and passes defense. So definitely something that I think they like. His fit rather than just his production at that particular defense at South Carolina.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad that they got a CB. It's going to be interesting to see if he can be something that's going to be able to help them if one of their top three gets hurt, because at this point, the depth just doesn't seem to be there unless Smith takes a big step forward.
They could have had Greedy. I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Ugh. So the next guy they took was a little bowling ball out of Utah State named Darwin Thompson.
But we could have had arguments about whether it's important that corners tackle for the next 5 years. That would have been so much fun.
See, and this is what I'm trying to avoid.
Oh, you were transitioning now. Yes, and if you're going to transition, you should try to transition the way Darwin Thompson transitions in and out of his breaks when he's running back and forth. See how I...
So nice. Yes.
He is...
Well
He's
done.
Fun. I'm excited for that film review. I've only looked at like a highlight reel, which that doesn't really tell you much, but... I mean, man, that guy can scoot. He does not have elite top end speed. Like he doesn't even have like the thing with like, say, Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt had a relatively slow ish 40, but his top gear was tough to catch from behind. Mm-hmm. He doesn't quite have that top gear even, but he gets to that top gear really quickly. And so he ends up with like a 3 yard head start and then eventually gets run down. But man, that guy can scoot. He and his bounce through contact is superb.
His balance is fantastic.
It just threw me back to what they saw in Kareem Hunt, that the first guy is rarely going to be able to put him on the ground.
Right. And that's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, you and I, Ryan, occasionally disagree on this. I've kind of been slowly seduced by the dark side of running back doesn't matter. The numbers are compelling is all I'm saying.
I know the run game matters. The individual player doesn't
like the
as
idea
much.
That you can plug and play almost anyone. And I think the one thing that I've seen talking to a few of these guys about the numbers and, you know, I'm not great with numbers. It's the whole reason I went to law school is I didn't want to do numbers. And it was a terrible reason. I didn't tell my wife that at the time. But anyway, so the one thing that, you know, other than vision, which you can't really, you can't test. The one thing mm-hmm. that seems to correlate that moves the needle a bit from one running back to the other is the ability to break tackles, bounce through contact, and the ability to make guys miss. That's like the biggest one outside of vision. And his looks elite.
Yeah, and it's the thing that I like about it is it's subtle. He's not a guy that slows himself down by making dramatic cuts when he's trying to force missed tackles. He's able to take half steps to just shift his weight, move his hips, and change the target zone for the defender that is enough to make him miss. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Are you a Darwin guy, Chris?
I think it's going to be fun to have him on the team. I think he's going to give them a different running back style out of the backfield that they don't currently have. And I do think it's going to be something that's going to be a lot of fun for them to be able to put on the field, because you look at what they're going to have. I mean, you're going to have Watkins, you're going to have Hardman, you're going to have this guy as well, Darwin Thompson. And I think it's going to be a great fit, and it gives Andy Reid a lot of weapons to really use. And it's going to be the one thing that I didn't like about the draft, and I know we need to still talk about the guard. The one thing I didn't like is that they didn't go and pick up a tight end. In the depth of this draft, I would have thought that they would have gone and got a tight end, but they didn't go that direction.
And we will address that in the UDFA section.
I have a crazy idea that'll take 20 seconds to pitch before we go to our next break. What if, now they're not going to do this, Darwin Thompson, slot receiver. Got the stop starts all day. Get him. You know what? I've talked myself into it. Darwin Thompson should be a slot receiver. And
didn't even take him 20
seconds. It did not even take me 20 seconds to talk myself into that, just because I like it. And the Chiefs, and I know we're going to talk about this, the undrafted free agents, they seem to have a plethora of wide receivers, of running backs that, I mean, they want to get talent on the field somehow. Slot receiver.
Party of one. The Athletic Matrix Draft Guide from Rogue Analytics is available now, and we've got a special discount code for our listeners. At checkout, enter the code LOCKEDON to get your discount. Go to rogueapc.com, that's rogueapc.com, and get the Athletic Matrix Draft Guide for the 2019 NFL Draft.
See, the thing about shifting wide receivers to the slot position, see, you thought you could stop me with a commercial break, but I can't be stopped. This is the future. And so I'll be party one over here. I'll be over here in the future. well, you guys are over here running 9 fullback sets or whatever. But I like his game so much that I'm afraid he won't see the ball enough given the plethora of playmakers the Chiefs have elsewhere. So that's the only reason why I'm offering up insane ideas.
Fair enough.
So the last selection was a guard named Alex Allegretti.
I want to talk about this more, guys. Okay, fine. Alex, sorry. What?
Sorry, Nick Allegretti. Nick Allegretti. Out of Illinois. Yeah, go ahead.
I get paid for this, by the way. Not my failure to know names. It's like, who did I pick again? I don't know. It's like, don't you write for about the Chiefs? Yeah, but you know, there's a lot of
just
names.
Just the stars.
There. Yeah, just the stars mostly. People don't want to read anything else. It's terrible. All right, I'm sorry. Nick Allegretti. Big dude, you said? I like big dudes.
Yeah, good size, thick dude, beefy build. Honestly, reminds me of Brian Waters, of all people.
Nice.
Can play inside at the guards, and they're saying can play inside at center, too. So it looks like they, with the UDFAs, they brought in a couple centers as well. They're looking for competition at that spot.
Sure.
So I think that's going to be his big boon. He's, I think he's 6'4" so he's kind of big for a center, but there's like 17 guards, so they might as well start pummeling each other, see who gets a start.
Sure, sure. What's he weigh?
I want to say 308. I got to double check. He was not, for all intents and purposes, folks, he was not in my list of linemen pre-draft.
Ooh, it says 320 here on Google. So there you go. He's tall-ish, but he's beefy, too. And I mean, sign me up. I like beef. I'm all in favor of them adding someone up front. Obviously, they like Ryder. I think they're happy with him, but it's always good to keep churning through guys in terms of offensive linemen.
Yeah. Chris, anything on him?
Well, I just was going to say, it sounds like they really like him and they like his nasty side and his edge that he plays with. So I do think that's a good sign moving forward. Question is, you know, I don't think he's obviously going to be playing in year one, but he gives them depth, and maybe he's somebody that can take over in year two.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if they want to go to a power run scheme, him and Khalil McKenzie would be really, really interesting at guard.
Yeah.
Just saying, you know, maybe run the wishbone.
Yeah. Hey, maybe run the wishbone. I don't know. Maybe put Anthony Sherman in there. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, hey.
Whatever.
You know, and speaking of tight end too, Anthony Sherman. I think what we have to see is that, like Chris said, when we got to the UDFA section, and I'm looking at them as we talk, folks, I haven't even been able to keep up with all of them because there is a ton. But a couple stand out, and there are a couple of tight ends in this group. One that really in particular is a guy making a position switch who was a quarterback in, I believe at Harvard in the Ivy League, to some rave reviews, but he's going to play the H tight end spot, an athlete. And I think that's really what it's going to boil down to. And they're just going to throw everything at the wall and see who sticks.
John Lovett, listed as QB/athlete. I swear to God, that's what I'm looking at right now. QBs. Yeah, QB/ATH.
Really?
Athlete. Hey, you know what? Sign me up. You know, wow. Undrafted free agents are like playing the lottery in that it doesn't really cost you much. And I mean, yep, at least much in terms of the numbers we're talking about here. And if you hit on one, it's a huge deal. One thing I will say, I noticed the Chiefs spent a little more than some other teams on like the bonuses and stuff. And I got to tell you, there are a very few places that you can give yourself a natural edge, that you can buy yourself an edge in football. One is coaches, how much you pay the coaches. And the two is like trainers, medical staff, facilities. Those are all things that you can buy an advantage. The other one, undrafted free agents, you can buy an advantage here just by offering them a little bit more.
And that's what it comes down to when everyone's competing for the same pool of players, because everybody kind of covets those. Every team at the end is in all hands on deck. Everybody start making calls because they're guys that were probably draftable on your board, but you didn't want to spend the money. And now, like you said, you give them a couple extra grand as a signing bonus, and you can get somebody away from another team.
Right. So one guy, like, you know, I'm looking at this list. Everyone's really excited about the I've just heard repeatedly from people who love the draft that, yeah, man, the Chiefs did a really great job. Now, every year people say that, and then every year the vast majority of them are gone by training camp or by the end of training camp. And ones that do stick around, they never really do anything for the most part. Every now and then one sticks. There are two guys that I wanted to ask you guys about. We've got, why am I not remembering? Well, dang it. Who's the guy, the running back that you wanted to talk about earlier, whose name is wrong, Ryan? Williams. James Williams. I have been, there were so many people who were just stoked about him because he was supposed to be like a mid-round value. No one thought he would drop that low. And I've heard he's just an unbelievable receiver.
He is. In fact, I think if I did my numbers right, over close to 60% of his total yards in college came on receptions rather than runs.
Yeah, it says he caught 83 passes last year.
Yeah, he's a machine.
Holy crap. Well,
and the funny thing is they don't run at Wazoo, right? But when he was handed the ball, he did well. What was it? 6 yards a carry. He just didn't get that. 7.1 per reception, a guy that was a clutch for Gardner Minshew there. And I think he is easily, of this group, the guy that has the best chance to make this roster and actually contribute, because he is a little bit quicker than Damian is, and he's just as accomplished in the pass game.
Interesting. That's why, you know, with how people are stoked about him and how people are stoked for Thompson as well, it suddenly becomes an interesting situation in the running back room. Because running back for Kansas City, with Andy Reid as the coach and now with Mahomes as the quarterback, is much like wide receiver. That should be an incredibly coveted place to be.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this. The guy that I have slated as RB2 right now for the Chiefs roster is a guy that was a UDFA last year in Darrell Williams.
Ooh, so you think Hyde might get bumped out completely?
I think he could be. And I think if there's a single position on any roster in the NFL where a UDFA has a chance to make a roster and get playing time, it's at running back.
Nice. I like it. I think that would be fun. You know, it'll be a really cool competition. And this year, you don't have an incumbent who is so set in as Kareem Hunt was last year. And even the backup was very set last year, right? I mean, everyone knew it was Ware. Mm-hmm. Williams really didn't have a ton of opportunities. And then he made the most when he finally got him. This year, I mean, the starter is mostly set. I think, I mean, they signed Williams to a decent contract, not a huge one, but a running back. You know, it's a decent little contract. And I think he did well enough to where you can count on him. But it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if Hyde's guaranteed anything. And Williams either. So there's a lot going on here.
We want to say thank you for all of your support through this entire season, and want to let you know we will be here all off season for you. This and every episode that we'll be bringing to you are going to be available every week, just like normal, all off season long. So thanks for taking the time. All of you new folks, thanks for leaving your iTunes reviews and everything else. We appreciate your time, and keep it locked on, Chiefs.
I just have to ask the question. I was looking at all the undrafted free agents that the Chiefs have signed. And one of the articles I was looking at was talking about how they gave some large bonuses to some of these players to come here. The name that sticks out to me the most, though, and it's kind of awkward to say, but Jack Fox from Rice, mm-hmm. the punter, they gave him a $45,000 signing bonus. Do you do that if you don't think that he can maybe take Colquitt's spot?
I just, man, I don't even want to think about that.
I don't know.
And I get it. I get that it's just a punter and whatnot, but I've heard that this kid has a booming leg. And Kansas City hasn't been signing punters as UDFAs to bring into camp anytime when
Colquitt's the oldest player on the roster. So, mm-hmm. And quite frankly, he's very expensive for that position. And I hate to think about him not being in red anymore, but eventually that day's going to come. I don't know if it's this year, but you're right. That contract maybe gives a hint.
Yeah, but because you don't put punters on your practice squad.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I guess you could, but no one does. I know Harrison.
Well, they put kickers on the practice squad, not Kansas City, but I've seen that in the past. I just thought it was interesting that you give them a bonus
I agree.
That. Because to me, that means that you really want to bring that guy in, and you have to give him that in order to get him. So
that's,
I don't think
it's interesting that it seems to me like maybe they're just willing to, if they think he's good enough, they're willing to pay an extra $50,000 just to see.
Yeah. Well,
which in football world, that's,
and they also pay,
yeah, that says a lot.
They also pay Kyle Schumer, the son of the Giants coach, a QB, $67,500 in guaranteed money.
And how long was that contract? I think that's the more telling point.
I'm not sure.
I thought it was 3 years. I know the other quarterback is too, and I can't even remember his name this moment. Scrolling.
Yeah, I've got that here somewhere. TJ Lenta.
Right. As though I know, yes. That's what we're going to go with.
But I would imagine,
but yeah, it's interesting that
one of those guys doesn't make it to camp. I can't imagine they go to camp with six. Well, that would be six arms because they already have four.
You have a lot of faith in EJ Manuel that I don't have.
Maybe they take both of those guys and dump Manuel. That's fine. But they're still not going to camp with five arms, I don't think. And right now they have six QBs. So.
Yeah. And I'm a fan of Chase Litton, but bringing in competition for him is nothing but a good thing, because you got to find, probably this season, you got to find the guy that can be the backup next year, because I don't think you want to pay Chad Henne again.
And right. Ryan, help me out here. Is Andre Lindsay there was a wide receiver that I thought had the last name of Lindsay that people were really liking in the later part of the draft. Is that this guy?
No, I think you're thinking of Thompson. Cody Thompson out of Toledo.
No, they signed Andre Lindsay.
He was thought to
They signed Lindsay too, and I thought maybe I'm wrong.
Right, but Thompson was the guy that had some late round talk, is what I'm saying. And he's actually on the matrix. He's in the top 10 in terms of change of direction. He can cut loose and get some separation. I think that's a really nice pickup. He's another guy that I think has a shot to make it here, since they brought in a ton of wideouts.
They don't have.
He definitely has the tools. Right, exactly. I think he could fight with Dieter and Kemp, and I think those are the guys that should be a little bit nervous, because I think he separates better than Kemp does, and I think he's got more speed than Dieter does. So it's, you know, there's some things there, but he definitely brings something.
I have to ask
Seth, is there?
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask Seth if he had a favorite.
My God, you guys are polite.
Shut up, Seth. Give me a guy you want to make this roster.
Oh, you mean on the undrafted
you're
guys?
You're catching on, bro.
Ideally, I think in a perfect world, it would be any of the corners because they need help at corner. That is the one position left on the team, which I personally like Bashaud Breeland. I like Kendall Fuller. I'm okay with Charvarius Ward. But man, they're an injury away from me screaming. And so, I mean, they've upgraded at safety. Thornhill looks promising. The defensive line looks great. Linebackers, I can live with how it is right now. They got the wide receiver they needed. Tight end's a little concerning. The line looks good. Quarterback's obviously great. So what you've got is basically backup tight end and corner are the two areas where I'm like, And so maybe they'll make some calls to Minnesota. I don't know. But
I'd
love them to do something. I don't know anything about him. I know he played for Clemson, and every time I've watched that defense, those guys are flying all over the friggin' place.
He didn't play for Clemson very much, though. It's really the story there. I mean, he was in Clemson, but he didn't play.
Well, and here's the thing. Oh. He's got excellent range because his overall speed is completely there. He doesn't change directions overly well. He's okay. Yeah, which is important, right?
It's a big deal.
It's
a big deal corner.
I didn't even do a profile on him because he came in below the average combine participant. So he got in there for the things that he is good at. But I will say this. The bigger concern for me is that he sat at Clemson. What did he play? 300 snaps as a senior and started the season as a starter. A lot of problems with the coaching staff and a lot of attitude issues that I've heard over the process. So it's really about, is he humble enough to take that in stride and become coachable all of a sudden? I don't know that I buy the guys change their feathers that much. But if he can, over his career, he has one of the lowest allowed reception rates in this draft at 36%.
Okay, one other name I got to ask you a question about, Ryan. Gary Johnson, linebacker from Texas.
Speed, speed, speed. He's a faster version of Dorian Daniel. Not as good against the run.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. He is a speed guy. I think you could probably play him at strong safety when you're on third down. I think he is a long shot, but definitely somebody that is faster than any other linebacker they have and could really – I think he's probably a long shot, but he might be the third or fourth guy on my list of a UDFA that might have a shot at making the roster.
What position would he play linebacker-wise?
He'd only be a will or a designated nickel guy. But you could slot him in even at safety at some point.
Okay. So real quick, I know we got to wrap up and we got to be done, but I have to ask you both this, and Seth, you kind of brought this up before I was wanting to ask the question, but we look at what this roster has right now. Are they going to make another move before training camp or two? Because really, if they're going all in,
I will never let the dream die. They will trade for Patrick Peterson. They'll do it, man. I don't know if they're going to do it, guys.
I hope so, though. I would love to see it.
What?
There should be that second round of free agency now to where there ought to be, maybe there'll be a solid corner available on the market. But I you would think if the Cardinals were going to trade Peterson, it would have happened during the draft.
Yeah. You would think. But at the same time, if he doesn't start showing up for OTAs and whatnot, and he keeps that whole thing going.
Please, baby, please. I mean,
and this is something Ryan and I talked about. I don't think I talked about this with you, Seth. They're signing to Frank Clark to the way they signed his contract. They left it open.
Yes.
They left this window open to sign somebody. So,
And that could be in part for Chris Jones. Well, they got room for that too. They got lots of room and maybe they'll roll it over. I don't know. If they got a corner that I was very, very, very comfortable with, very, very happy with, I would go from, you know what? I'm pretty happy with how this offseason's gone, minus the Hill debacle. I would go from that to ecstatic. Hill debacle or not.
Well, let me ask you this, because there's one other veteran corner that I think will be available soon, but I'm not as excited about him. But the way they drafted, I don't think Janoris Jenkins, who played for Spagnuolo in New York, I don't think he's going to be on that roster very long. He's still an upgrade in my eyes, but how do you guys feel about him?
I feel okay about him as long as they don't break the bank. I mean, he played well versus Hill the last time they played the Giants.
I think it'd be an upgrade. Mm-hmm.
Hill's not an easy cover.
They have. Yeah. You know, the other position I have to wonder about, especially with the Hill news coming, and honestly, they haven't done anything yet, but I expect they're going to this week or next. I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking at a wide receiver. There were a lot of wide receivers that went out and got drafted this year. It wouldn't surprise me if there's somebody that gets let go that is probably worth another contract. Not necessarily a great contract, but a prove it type deal. Wouldn't shock me a wide receiver, wouldn't shock me a tight end.
Yeah, it might come down to like cut down day, you know, just as the season starts. Even
it may, but I think it'd be better if they could try to find somebody now. If they think that there's somebody out there that may be looking at losing a spot, and I think it would be worth giving up a draft pick next year to have somebody in training camp, especially at receiver or tight end, where you have to learn Andy's offense. Yeah.
Any parting thoughts on the Super Bowl weekend of roster building?
No, good.
Not okay. Really. speaking of which, though. When I talk about wide receiver, what about Aguilar, since he's out there? That's kind of what I felt.
Be all right.
But for $9 million a year, I don't know that I would really go that direction.
Yeah, I would rather. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with where they're at. You know, I think Tyreek Hill is a uniquely gifted individual, but I also think people underestimate just how good being surrounded by, in terms of football stuff, being surrounded by Reed and Mahomes and just all that stuff has been for him. So I think people are going to be surprised how well they do, regardless.
Well, then I will leave you with this thought, folks. Thanks for hanging in with us this long. And we will go back on each of these selections as we go through the film and Seth does all of his work. And I'll check on all the guys that I haven't watched yet. And Chris will just tell me I'm wrong. But I want to leave you with this parting thought as the long shot of the Chiefs off season. Alex Fontana, interior offensive lineman, University of Kansas. Thank you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.